Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges, helps us learn about our faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Barry Quirk, and I'm joined in the studio today by Pastor Justin Schaller. This is a momentous day for us, sharing the Grace Hour microphones together. We have shared a lot of experiences in life and some really fun ones. And today we get to talk about a great subject, and that is, what is the gospel? And I think as young men that we are, I'm going to throw myself in that category with you.
Always, in my mind.
If you take the average age of the speakers here, thank you for bringing that down a little bit. But we are, you know, we're thinking about our lives and what do we dedicate our lives to. And, you know, we've made some decisions in our lives. We've both become pastors, probably not something that, you know, early on in life we maybe would have charted. But with great confidence that God called us to this, and we have something called the gospel that directs us in our path, and it's the reason that we do what we do. So today we're going to talk about, and all this week, we're going to talk about what is the gospel, and specifically that topic today. So Pastor Justin, great to have you with us, and what do you think?
It's good to be here.
It is good.
We're going to have a good time.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, the gospel, it's the good news. You know, just in the Bible language, many people know, it just means declaration of the good news, right?
Yep.
And, you know, there's a lot of different things in life. Like, I could come to you and say, give you good news, like, hey, you're going to get a new job and you're going to make $200,000 a year. Woo! Come on. Give him a raise. He's the principal. He needs a raise. Give him a raise. So, you know, that's good news. Yeah. Or you could say to a young person, you know, I can tell the future and I know you're going to get married and have kids. That's good news. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things in life that we can tell people that's good news. And this one is on a spiritual level. I mean, it's not even comparable to telling somebody good news that could happen in this life. But this is something where we declare eternal life to people. Mm-hmm. And the gospel is not an argument. We're not going into the world trying to argue with people, but the Bible just says that we just declare it. And our job is pretty easy. We just declare it. We don't have to try to defend it because the scripture defends itself. But like Jesus said, I always love this one because it just makes it so simple to me. But when he's talking about preaching the gospel, he just uses a simple analogy of a farmer going out and planting seed.
Yes.
And then he says the farmer goes and he goes to bed and he has a sweet sleep. He goes, it's not his job to try to produce anything. The seed is going to go into the ground, which is the word. And God is the one who brings the fruit or gives a germination to the seed so that it can bring forth fruit, which is a new life. And our job is just to preach it. And, you know, we do our best to be able to preach it to the fullest and as clear as we possibly can. But for an unsaved person, the gospel is really just telling them where they are in God's viewpoint. This is how God sees you. And there's repercussions for sin. But the good news is that God sent his son, and his son came into the world and died for your sins. And we need to get the gospel clear because, and we can talk about it because there's definitely been false gospels, and we see it in the scripture. Paul tells us that there's going to be other gospels that are going to come in, and you have to point those out and clarify, you know, that's not what the Bible's saying. It's very simple what the Bible says. It says the state of man, it says the state of who God is, and then it states what God has done and that this is the only means to salvation and eternal life. So it's very simple, but at the same time, simple things can be changed and become more complex than what they are.
Yeah, and I would say that we obviously as believers, we walk to the beat of a different drummer in a sense, right? Like when you consider what people strive for in their lives in this world, for money, for fame, for recognition, for all of those things that are very temporal in nature, and they sometimes will move, you know, families, they'll prioritize, they'll do all these things with the hope that they'll get some form of satisfaction at the end of it, right? And we're just saying today that we have a purpose as believers. We have a purpose that every morning when we wake up, we know what we're here on earth for,
mm-hmm.
right? Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're going out there planting the seeds, it's not like we're doing that because we feel like we have to meet some quota,
mm-hmm.
right? We're not just sharing the gospel because we want to be part of the 144,000 that inherits the heaven,
right.
you know, like,
right.
like it sadly is the case in some sects, some religions.
Call them cults.
Cults. Thank
yeah.
you. Okay.
Yeah.
So
it's called for
yeah,
what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. So, yeah. so, but we do have this joy that happens in us, right? Because it is, as you said, it's the work of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a great picture because we are the ones who are casting the seed and God is the one who's causing the growth and God is the one who's bringing the fruit. And we were speaking recently about, Major Ian Thomas. He was, theologian that came and spoke at my Bible college graduation.
Oh, did he?
In Lenox, and it was 1984. Wow. No, I'm sorry, 1987. And he was talking.
Does that put him in the young category?
Yeah. So much for that. I'm not going to ask you what year you were born. But I graduated in 87. And excuse me, there was, he preached this message about being, about abiding and, you know, he is the vine, we are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very simple message with clarity, but it still to this day, it was profound to me that the fruit that happens on a grapevine,
mm-hmm.
you don't ever measure any kind of striving or stress or, you know, sweat. The grape isn't there trying to pop itself out and grunting. And,
right.
But it's like the vine has the branches and the branches produce the fruit. And there's mm-hmm. an amazing work that happens below the soil. The water of the word, the sun, the nutrients, all of those things happen outside of the fruit,
mm-hmm.
but the fruit is the result. So we have this beautiful hope, and I think that's why that it really means something to us that we're sowing the seed, but we're doing so in obedience to Christ, and
right.
this is a really beautiful thing.
And getting the gospel right, I mean, we share our faith with people. There's definitely different structures that people can have, like the Romans Road mm-hmm. to walk people through, and
yep.
I'm all about it. I love it because you're not going to leave anything out that should be in there. But at the same time, our life is speaking to people. Our transformed life will speak to people, just the way that we treat them, the way that we treat our family.
Yeah.
Our devotion in the sense of our outlook on the church, people that are in the church, and then also sharing what's happened to us. So the gospel speaks, yes, in the sense of line upon line, and I'm going to lead this person to the Lord, and I have to make sure that they have an understanding of what salvation is. Absolutely, there's no question about it. But it's bigger than that. It's relational with people. I mean, I had one guy that was in our church who now is like a, you know, big part of our church, huge part in my life. He helps me out tremendously. And at the time he was coming with his girlfriend who now is his wife
mm-hmm.
and she was a believer and he wasn't a believer at the time. And she actually, you know, just felt as though the Lord wanted her to break up with him. And, for 6 months or so, like he didn't really understand why she broke up with him, and he didn't understand the church, he didn't understand the gospel, and you know he would just come to my house, we'd do sauna together, we would chat, we would hang out, and it wasn't anything forced because a lot of times people need to have trust with you before you can start talking to them,
mm-hmm.
and it was the most amazing thing, one of the most amazing things. For me, because it just came off the cuff where I said, let me just tell you a little story, Luke 15, about the prodigal son.
Mm.
And then when I got to the elder son, just in the sense of his own self-righteousness, it was like the Holy Spirit, I felt it, I sensed it.
Mm.
And he was just standing there like a deer in the headlights.
Wow.
And I didn't say, you're the older son.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything dramatic like that.
Yeah.
It was just a very simple over weeks of just building a relationship with him and then telling him a story that brought into conviction through that story
yeah.
that he was proud. and that he was like seeking for his own self-righteousness because he was meddling with different ideas and, you know, a good thinker and, you know, kind of exploring different avenues of how to make himself whole.
Yeah.
And he felt pretty good about that because intellectually he knew a lot. But that simple story backed up by the Spirit's power. And, you know, months later he got saved. His wife had a huge part of it. I had a part of it. Other people had a part of it. Yeah. But when that salvation happened, I don't necessarily even really know. But then he said to me months later, when he got baptized about 6 months later, he said, do you remember that time we were at your house in Luke 15? You told me that story. He goes, I was like, one, offended. And then two, like came to the clarity, that's exactly who I was. Yeah. So it was a story in the gospel that brought in conviction. And I think that's one thing we soul win. And I love it that we soul win. And sometimes we can just have a short conversation with a person. My job is not to try to get them to come to a conclusion to make a prayer with me. If that happens, praise the Lord. But if I can share the gospel quickly with them, awesome, and God can use it. But people have to understand, it's not I'm standing on a corner saying to people, hey, do you want to go to heaven? Who doesn't want to go to heaven?
Right.
But the gospel first comes in sharply in the sense of it condemns me as a sinner. Then I realize there's no way out of it and I need a savior.
Yeah. I mean, that's in a nutshell, that's really what the gospel is, right? That it's the good news. It's the evangelion, the good news.
Yeah.
But it's in order to understand the good news, you have to know about the bad news.
Right.
And the bad news is that despite all our best efforts, right, all of our own righteousness in Isaiah 64 is like filthy rags before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that we try on our own doesn't please him. Mm-hmm. And yet we're driven to try and try and try and try. How many things in our lives do we do to appease our own guilt,
mm-hmm,
or to, you know, put ourselves in a place where we think we'll please God, only to find out that none of it pleases God. And that's that pride that you were just speaking about. And interesting, my wife was on the streets actually at school, and a girl walked up to her on a piece of paper ripped out of a notebook. There was a simple Bible verse reference written there and handed it to her. And my wife just said, this weird girl who, you know, maybe she wouldn't have ever hung out with, walked up and handed her this piece of paper with a Bible verse on it. And she just kind of like walked away and didn't say another word. Mm-hmm. And she said she went home and instead of, you know, she tried to throw it out and she couldn't, it just was burning. And she looked into it and it was instrumental in leading her to the Lord.
Yeah.
And it was just a person who was led by the Spirit,
mm-hmm,
to hand her the gospel,
yep,
you know, and I'm very thankful for that.
I'm sure you are, and your daughter is too.
Yeah, we're very thankful. But imagine, yeah, this is how it works. You know, sure, does God give somebody the gift of evangelism? Yes. I remember being at the McDonald's over here across the street with a couple of guys that used to be in our ministry, and they would stand at one end and talk to the guy in the line on the other, mm-hmm, end, and you'd be hearing the whole Romans Road and you know, you could hear the gospel message. Some people thought these guys are crazy. I don't want anything that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Other people were drawn to it and said, oh, that's kind of cool that there's public about this,
mm-hmm,
whatever the work of God was for them. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine that this gospel message, which is really that we were lost and gone astray and God gave us hope that we could have purpose, not only in next life and eternal life, but actually right now while we're here.
Yes.
And that we pass the days of our sojourning here in fear because we revere what it is that God has called us to in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of how many situations. I was telling somebody a story recently about being in Budapest and having to go get a piece of medical equipment at a store. First of all, just making that happen was, you know,
like, you can get it done.
You can get it.
If there's anybody that can get it done,
I'm medical
equipment.
I'm five. Yeah, CPAP mask.
Okay,
you know,
gotcha.
So I'm 5 miles away from the store, but it takes an hour and a half in Budapest to go 5 miles.
Oh yeah.
So I got one of our
Lima, Peru.
Take
you three.
Yeah, Jakarta was even worse. But at any rate, I'm trying to get this over there, and I grab one of the guys from the school who we both know, and we. He takes me over there, and an hour and a half later, I finally get in there. And I called ahead of time, hey, what do you have? Do you have this piece of equipment? Yes, I do. Okay, good. So I go in there. I walk in. They go, oh, sorry, that's the wrong brand. That store is across the city. I'm ready to lose my mind.
Yeah.
Right? I go, can you get the directions to the Hungarian guy? Can you get the directions, please? I'm going outside. I go outside, and I'm out there 5-10 minutes, and he's still in there. And I'm going, what is taking this guy so long?
Yeah.
So I go marching back in there, and I say, what is going on? And he goes, hey, Pastor Barry, I want you to introduce you to our new brother in the Lord. They just accepted Christ to be their Savior. Awesome. And I'm going, oh, yeah, I'm a missionary in this country. This is exactly why we're here. And this is exactly why God brought this situation, right? And it was just the person was going through some crisis. He asked him, how are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And the person said, ah, not so great. And the next thing you know, they're receiving Christ.
Wow.
And we walked out.
Did he take the last CPAC too?
No, I still had to go an hour and a half across the city. But, you know, the story of just being sensitive to what God has for us. And we could go soul winning on purpose,
mm-hmm.
or it can be on the way. Mm-hmm. It can be, but really none of it has any bearing if we don't have the gospel mm-hmm. message, which is that Christ came, he died on the cross for us, he was buried, he was resurrected, and he lives, mm-hmm. right? And that's the hope that I have in my life. So when you have this friend who you're ministering to, this isn't a message that's only good today, buy now or you lose. You know, it's this message is here, and we believe it so much that it's like a guy who eats a ton of garlic, it comes out of his pores.
There's a lot of people Eastern Europe that when you're on a tram, there's a lot of that coming out of the
Kolbas and Palinka.
Oh, those are my type of people.
Those mornings when you get on the tram bright and early, and there's two kiosks in Selkom and Ter, Mosfeter, two kiosks. One was cappuccinos, which I think I did have some place in
you
turning
really
you
did.
Into cappuccinos
at a young age.
At a young age. But it didn't take you to the other kiosk, which was the Palinka.
I found it eventually.
Yeah.
I did.
But the people on the bus, first thing in the morning, 7 o'clock on the tram.
Oh my gosh.
Smelling like garlic kolbas and
I loved
palinka.
It. Yeah, I mean, I was like, I belong in a country where you can eat kolbas and it's normal at 7 a.m. Yes, in the morning when you're going to school.
Your brother-in-law really enjoyed that as well.
Yeah, I know
he was on personal basis with the kolbas.
Oh, man. So good.
Anyhow, that's where the gospel took us, by the way.
Well, one thing about that, too, is, and I know this about you, is we can have those types of situations, and we can be frustrated, but to be sensitive as a believer.
Yes.
I mean, that's the key. Like, if you can know that the Holy Spirit can tug at us and be like, okay, you just drove an hour and a half, but maybe God had you drive an hour and a half, and it's not about the medical.
It's all about me.
Yeah,
I am
medical.
Selfish. I'm angry. I'm frustrated.
Yeah, but you're good at like making that shift. I think that's the big part
thank God for grace
in the sense of being a messenger is that we're able to say, okay, wait a second, this is just another Tuesday, and now I'm frustrated because I'm stuck in traffic. But maybe God's cording me into a place where there's going to be a
traffic.
Just
is beautiful when you realize that. Honestly, when you realize what just happened, and you go, all right, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you for the traffic. Thank you for. I mean, that's humbling. It really is because we're so about what we want.
Yes.
But it is definitely an amazing thing when you can go God's ways, you know, above my ways and. I'm very thankful for
there is a guy this is maybe back in January or something, and we're out in Federal Hill and we're handing out tracks, and this young guy, he's maybe 23 or 24, he sees me, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but someone sees you and they think that they know you, but he really thought he knew me, so much so that like he was hugging me like 3 seconds later. Oh, so good to see you, bro. And he's squeezing me, and he's this like fit D1 baseball player.
Oh my gosh.
And he's squeezing me, and as he's doing it, I'm kind of going along with it. It's like my personality. I don't want him to feel awkward. I'm like, oh, so good to see you. And it's a long embrace. I mean, this is like a long, like I haven't seen you in 2 years.
Oh,
I can't, never thought I was going to see you again. And as he's hugging me, I'm thinking, I don't know this guy. I have no idea who this guy is. And so then we stop hugging, and then he looks at me again. He goes, do I know you? and I go, I don't know. I go, maybe.
But I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, I haven't been hugged like that since I was like 10 years old. I'm like really enjoying this.
Oh, Lord.
I feel so loved. So we started talking a little bit. Come to find out, we knew some of the same people. He went to Loyola High School and knew some of the guys on the golf team there. And we just started talking, and I said, hey, I'm a pastor up the street, and we're just out telling people the good news of the gospel. And he goes, okay. And he goes, I'll come check you out. And a lot of times when you hear that, you're just thinking, maybe yeah, not. You believe the best, but... Yeah. He showed up the next Sunday.
Wow.
And he's been in the church the last 6 months, hasn't missed a Sunday.
That's amazing.
And he sits there, and I remember the first week that he was there, he came up just to say, hey, I showed up. And he goes, hey, thank you for, you know, what you said. It was interesting. Next week he came up, he goes, I just want to really thank you that we had that long embrace and we met. Next week comes up, I'm just so thankful that you came out and we got to meet. Wow. Thank you for this place. Week after week after week. And last week, it was so funny because his grandmother is a believer. And he went to his grandmother's church. And his grandmother introduced him to a young lady who's in the church who's like on fire for the Lord. You know, possible. Yeah. Like maybe they get together. And he brought her to the church. So I'm up there preaching, and Miguel is his name, and he's sitting there, and the girl is sitting next to him, and I'm thinking, oh, maybe, you know, his girlfriend or friend or sister, I don't really know. She's like so into the message. You know, you're always looking for the people that are like engaged. And she's so into it, and I'm thinking, wow, this is amazing. And so they came up, and he introduced her, and beautiful believer. And with him, salvation is not... It's not always. I've seen it where you have a 5-minute conversation and someone gets saved.
Yes.
And then I've seen it over a long span of time too. And what made him keep coming back to the church is a mystery, in the sense that it's a mystery, but from a biblical standpoint, the Holy Spirit's drawing him. And he's drawing him in. And he's going to hear message after message and get a clear understanding of what the gospel is and what the Bible is saying and who he is and in his unregenerate state. And then, you know, ultimately make a decision to receive Christ. And when that happens, and it's happened in, you know, in our experience in the ministry, that you're not 100% sure where people are at. You can tell them, do you understand it? But they don't fully yet grasp it. Mm-hmm. And then the Holy Spirit can just bring in conviction, but then just bring the love of God, and they're changed.
I mean, in our lives, right? We're pastors. We believe the Bible message unequivocally. We believe this is the inerrant word of God. And yet, how many times are we sitting in a message and we hear something from the word and we are blown away by it.
Yeah.
Almost devastated by the fact that we didn't understand this until today.
I know.
You know?
I know.
And, you know, here I am. I've been ordained a long time, and I'm thinking, like, I don't even know. But I love that. I love that we Absolutely. Have. And really, the gospel is in one sense, the gospel is the message that we were lost and that he came and he saved us. In another sense, the gospel is how we live in our day-by-day lives, which is what you've expressed really clearly today. That when I make a decision for Jesus Christ and it is in my heart and it changes, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot recently. We are not who we are because of what we do. We do what we do because of who we are, right? And when we are rooted and grounded in faith, and when we are in Christ, it comes out of our pores. It really does. And our motivation is pure. I love that we can be with a group of guys and you're laughing and joking and talking, and it's, you never question, like, what is the motive of this? Mm-hmm. Because it's the gospel. Mm-hmm. It is the fact that what means something to us is this permanency that Christ has given us in our faith and our walk with him, and the fact that we are headed to eternity. And then along the way, we get to express him to people. Pastor Stevens used the term theatric action, right? And it was that literally what was coming out of us was the work of God that had been worked into us. Mm-hmm. And I like that that emphasis in our lives. And also, as you know, in my life, I've been affected by men of God who have taken steps of faith and made the gospel their priority. Your dad is right there at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. And as a young man, I went to Hungary following his faith, and just, you know, him knocking on the door first thing in the morning and say, hey, you ready to pray? And yeah, I'm ready. And he's like, just make the coffee. I'll be back.
You're cutting into my prayer time right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pray with my eyes closed like this, laying flat
on
my bed.
I'm in deep meditation right now. Could you stop bothering? But, you know, but actually when he would come in to pray, drinking a cup of coffee, just, you know, and sometimes it wasn't a lot of words, but it was just a lot of, yep, Father, thank you. Yes, Lord, thank you. And I learned so much, like just praying in the finished work. You know, like I'm not asking God for something like it doesn't exist. I'm thanking God that it does exist. Mm-hmm. You know, thank you for your presence. Mm-hmm. Now, would you see fit to come and be present in our lives today, Lord, if you think it's okay, you know? But it's thank you that you are present in our lives, that I can walk by faith, that I can have your word hidden in my heart, that you give me the path of righteousness, that you enlighten my ways. And I learned so much from that. And it's the gospel message. It's conviction in our hearts that's conveyed to others. And whether that happens over a long stretch of time, and I would imagine in your life when you have professional relationships with people, but they look at you and they say, there's something different about that guy. Because you can't separate who you are from who you are. And that's really a precious thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a freeing thing for us, just in life in general, that we don't have to try to be anybody that we're not.
Yes.
And sometimes we can think that sharing the gospel with people is separate from just my day-to-day life. But if I am who I am, I have my own personality. You have your own personality. We have our own sense of humor. We like being with people. We like talking with people. And over a period of time, especially in a working relationship, like if someone's coming and they're paying you for a service, you know, you want to be careful in the sense that how am I going to be able to share Christ with this person? But I feel like trust is a big one. Like God gives us people in our lives for certain periods of time. And it could be that you're with a person for a year, 5 years, 10 years. Could be you're with a person 6 months, 3 months. It could be that you're just like on the street with a person for 10 minutes. Well, if I'm with a person for 10 minutes, I want to use that time to be able just to share the message as quickly as possible. If I'm with a person for 3 months or 6 months, I think prayer is the first one. Lord, this guy, you know, I work with this guy every single day. Can you just open up a door that he trusts me and that he knows that when I'm sharing this message, I actually really care about him? And God will do it.
Yes.
And it could be that you don't even initiate it, but that person initiates it with you. And we've seen that happen before with people that I would never think would ever come into the kingdom of God, do come into the kingdom of God. And you're just saying, like, how did that happen? And it wasn't maybe necessarily anything that I said, but it's that that person's in my life for this period of time, and I'm just praying, Lord, just open up a door. Use other people in their life to bring them into the kingdom of God. And then when you do give me an opportunity to be able to share something with them, that give me the strength to be able to just say it with boldness. And I think it's the funnest thing ever because we're very just in life on a day-to-day basis in the workplace, if you work in a secular place, we're very, what would be the word? We're almost kind of like special ops in a sense, where we're there, we're not trying to trick anybody, but people don't, like it says in John, like if the world knew who we were, they would call us the children of God, but they don't know us because they didn't know him.
Yes.
They didn't say he was the son of God because they just saw his humanity. So people see our humanity, they see our profession, but then over a period of time, they can really see the foundation of where we live and what we're really all about. It's not about a job. Yeah. It's not about a job. God's given it to me, but it's about people.
Yes.
And building relationships with people and caring for people and praying for them and just saying, Lord, I'm going to go into work today. I'm going to see this guy. I'm going to see Dave. I'm going to see, you know, there's stories. We all have those stories. And can you just give me just the wisdom to be able to direct this so that I can just speak something that hits them that's just not surface, that's deeper, that's like rooted in the gospel.
Oh, that's beautiful. I remember being in the visa office in Hungary, you know, and like we had to update our visas at the end of the year. And I said, I'm going to go early and beat the line and be there. So I went in and I sat, and actually I didn't realize it, but there was a desk in the office that kind of faced all the chairs. And I said, if I'm going to be here early, I'm going to bring my books and study for my Bible school class tonight. So I spread out my Bible and my books and my, I got my commentary, and I'm just going at it and reading and my little computer and going at it and going at it. And a At one point, I look up and the entire room is full of people, and I realize they're all facing me, looking at me, going, "What the heck is this guy doing?" And for a moment, I got like really self-conscious, like, "Oh my God, look at all these people!" But then I thought, you know, if they knew the power of what I have in front of me, they would kill for it, right? And really, what person does not have a question in their life about what is it that can give me the kind of security that I need? Like, I want to know that I'm significant, and I want to know that I'm secure. I'm loved and that I'm cared for. And sometimes that message does take somebody looking at your life and seeing they're trustworthy. But we are trustworthy because we represent somebody who's trustworthy, because in us dwells no good thing, right? Like, we don't have the magic formula. If you have your personality or my personality, you'll affect people. God can affect people with any personality, right? As long as we're revealing who Christ is. And I love that the body is made up of many members.
My mother-in-law is, she's like a Billy Graham, undercover Billy Graham.
I love it.
And she doesn't change who she is.
Yeah.
And she has a personality that's like people, it's an unbelievable thing with her and my wife. Like,
if they're on the down low.
If we go to, like, say we're at the airport, we had a situation, my wife and I, and they messed up our tickets, and, you know, they really weren't giving us anything for it. They weren't really trying to help redirect us to get another flight and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking to the agent. "Sorry, sir. Call the 1-800 number customer service." My wife, I say, you know, early on in our marriage, I was like, "All right, I'm going to resolve the problem." My wife goes up to the lady at the desk, and I walk away frustrated. And with that, I turn around, they're both like laughing. They're both like sharing stories. They're calling each other "girl." "Oh, I love you, girl." Boom. Problem resolved. I go, I couldn't reach that lady. But my wife could, just in the sense that she has that personality, right? Well, my mother-in-law is like that as well. And wherever she goes, she always shares Christ with people.
Mom.
I mean, it doesn't matter if you're at McDonald's and you're going through the drive-thru, she's going to get it in or give them a track.
Yeah.
If she's shopping, they call it shopping outreach. My wife and my mother-in-law, shopping outreach. And the amount of people that they meet is like unbelievable. They have like a gift to be able to share it, and people don't feel threatened, and they'll just give them the full gospel. We feel threatened because we don't want to go up to people and say that they're a sinner. But we have to, like, in the sense, like, people understand that there's something wrong with them, that they're broken. People know that they're guilty. And we say, yes, all mankind, we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. The book of Romans says that we're enemies of God. Even though you don't think that you are,
right. You're
enemies against his standard. If you brought out the Ten Commandments, or you brought out the righteous deeds of the holiness of God, like, you would understand that you fall short in all of those areas. You can do it with the personality. You can do, obviously, with the power of the Spirit, but you can do it in a way that people understand, yeah, I know I'm broken. And then you can bring in the good news, and you know, people are going to respond to that. But the telling people that they're sinners and they need Christ. Now, if you have someone who's a proud, self-righteous person, they go, "Why do I need salvation? Like, I'm a good person." Those are the hardest people to reach, because those are the people that Jesus was trying to reach, and they wouldn't listen to him, and they had to get rid of him because he was saying, "You're not perfect, and you're self-righteous and full of yourself." People that are broken, Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, those are the people that are closest to the kingdom of God. The proud person needs it, and the weakest person needs it, and they're both in the same place. And how we bring that message across to people, we can be led by the Lord.
Yeah.
From the pulpit, it's one thing. I mean, we're firm in the sense of the pulpit, depravity of man. One-on-one, I think trust is a big one.
Yeah, and I would say, even from your pulpit, you know, and you know this, that when you get up to preach, you're looking out at your audience, and there's a person who has a really good job. There's a person who's struggling for financial help. There's a person who's secure and married and happy, and a person who's lonely and insecure and troubled. There's a rich person and there's a poor person. There is a healthy person and a sick person. And you're supposed to give the message that touches all of them right where they're at. Right? How does that happen? Well, you're faithful to deliver what God commits to your heart. You put in the time, the study, the preparation. You preach the gospel. God does the work, mm-hmm. right? All of those people receive a portion of your message in a way that's amazing, and it's spirit-led and it's lateral thinking. You say something and it triggers something in their heart about something they've been meditating on. It's such an awesome work of God. It's incredible, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't know. Like when we are witnessing to somebody and we're asking them a question, and sometimes they go home with that question and they think about it while they're lying on their bed, and we don't even realize that we started a whole process with them.
Oh yeah.
And I love it that we're and other times, you know, we've done a lot of outreach in the city. Years ago I had the Baltimore City Youth Club, and we would go knock on doors and guys would come and play basketball. And the rule was you can play basketball as long as you stay for the chapel mm-hmm. service in the middle. Mm-hmm. And they would, because they mm-hmm. really wanted to play basketball. Mm-hmm. And I had a gym. So they would stay. But I keep running into people years and years and years later who tell us, oh, man, I remember that you told us that Jesus loved me no matter what my circumstances were. And I've been in some bad circumstances, and I remember those words. Mm-hmm. That's the gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, and I didn't necessarily know who received for sure or who didn't. And it was a work of faith. I just knew God called us to be there and to be available to people and to love them and encourage them. And then he did the work. Mm-hmm. And to this day, we're seeing the fruit of that, you know. So I do think, you know, there is a great part of Christianity that misses out on this relationship with God because we're stuck in some false gospel teachings, mm-hmm. some false emphasis. We take the gospel plus something. Mm-hmm. When really it's the unadulterated gospel of grace. And you mentioned something earlier about, you know, somebody has a gift or somebody can, and I could feel condemned if I don't have that gift, right? I could say, oh, I don't really know how to be all things to all men or say the right words at the right situation. What would you say to somebody who would feel condemned about that?
Yeah, I would say that as a disciple, you're a learner. There's no one, you know, it's silly to think if I'm with somebody who's been preaching for 30 years that I just started preaching and I'm going to be like them.
Yeah.
Or someone who's been evangelizing for 30 years that I'm going to be able to have the same ability that they do. I think spiritual gifts are like a pencil. If you have a pencil that's not sharpened yet, it needs to go in the pencil sharpener, right? So our gifts are sharpened mm-hmm. over time. Mm-hmm. You have everything that you need to be able to fulfill it, but you need to be discipled.
Yeah.
So discipleship is that you're under somebody that has a certain gift that you may have as well in the sense of proclaiming the gospel or street evangelism or having a level of faith and boldness. Some mm-hmm. people have just tremendous faith. That's a gift of God. And they've exercised it and they've been sharpened in it. So they use opportunities. But to be under a person like that, like you were with my father, like mm-hmm. I was with my father, and to say, I could never do what he does. Well, in one sense, none of us can do what another brother does anyways.
Exactly.
So I just want to know what God's gifted me with. And it could be that I'm never going to have the same boldness as Billy Graham or Bill Alexson.
Yeah.
But I can still exercise what God's given me for the sake of the gospel. And sometimes when you go on outreach, you can, you know, have people that are maybe not, don't have the faith or the boldness to be able to go up, but they're there. And they're praying during the time, or they come into a conversation, you invite them in. Hey, I want to introduce you to my friend who's like being discipled.
Yes.
And they feel included in the work that's going on. I mean, there's many times that we go out and we evangelize and there's a huge group of people and there's one guy who's preaching the gospel, but we're all there backing it up.
Yes.
So I would say one thing, maybe you're not good on street evangelism. Maybe you're not good just going up to your neighbor and just presenting it. But maybe you're good at one-on-one and you have a personal relationship with somebody. And the Billy Graham wouldn't have that really, but you do. Yes. And you enjoy it. And the other person enjoys it. And you'll find that the Holy Spirit will be in it.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing that if people aren't so exercised in sharing the gospel with people, I think they're really missing out. There's no condemnation at all, but I think they're missing out because there is something that is supernatural. Doesn't always happen, but it does happen.
Yes.
And when it does happen, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
When you share the gospel and someone comes into the kingdom, or you share the gospel and you didn't think that you would be able to do it, you had too much fear, but you actually do it, and he knows the power of God, you leave a happy person.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like the farmer goes to bed and he's got a big smile on his face. I just planted the seed. I did my job. The rest of it is your job. Yeah. I just did mine, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I love that you hit the nail on the head. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, right?
No.
Like, the gift that we have is a gift.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that we had capabilities of on our own, but it's a gift. So we have this gift, and we operate in faith, and the gospel goes forward by the grace of God that, let's face it, he could use rocks.
Yeah.
If he wanted to use rocks, he could use nature. He could use whatever it was he wanted to communicate the message of the gospel. Mm-hmm. But he chose to use us, the people who have failed the most, who are loved the most, because we understand who we were before Christ, and we know who we are in Christ, and that God no longer sees us after our failure. He sees us after his blood. Mm-hmm. We are redeemed. His blood is a propitiation for our sins. There are so many things that the good news of the gospel has given us. You know, when we study for our ordination exam, that we learn about those 95 things that happen at the point of salvation, which I'm sure we could whip off right now.
I think I knew five.
Yeah. But I have them somewhere. That's the important part.
That was real grace that they gave me even an ordination.
Well, we know. Yeah, when you're walking out and they say, boy, you know, this is a student of the word, and you start laughing because every answer was John 3:16 after the first hour of the test.
Jesus.
But really, to have boldness because he's made us something that we're not.
Yes.
That's why we're bold.
It's like if you're the dad in the family, you got the kids, you got your wife, you got the kids, and you got to get the project done in the house. I got to get it done. Mm-hmm. And of course, you're going to be able to get it done faster.
Yeah.
But how about you bring your kid and, you know, my son holds the hammer, my daughter holds the screwdriver, my wife's involved. When that project's done, everybody had a much better time than dad just saying, I'm getting it done and I'm going to get it done right.
Yeah.
Teddy, every time you take that razor blade, make that cut, it's always crooked, right? Like, God is a God that he wants participation with his people. And he could do it, of course, all by himself, but he invites us in because he wants us to enjoy what he enjoys when people receive the gospel and come into the kingdom of God. It's a participation. And I would just say to people that are listening, there is no condemnation. We're always beating ourselves up. I should have done that. I should have said this. If I was a real Christian with real faith, I would have done that. I think prayer is the biggest one. And you just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I have a hard time sharing my faith, or I don't know how to do it. It's kind of clunky.
Yeah.
I start off on saying the gospel and then I get diverted and it makes no sense or whatever it might be. Don't worry about it. I mean, just pray and just ask the Lord, can you just give me something simple that I could just say to somebody that's reflecting the gospel and the message that you want to tell the world? I mean, ultimately, that's what it is. And I love Spurgeon said, because he was such a great orator and very capable person, someone asked him, would you ever step down from the pulpit and become the prime minister of England? And he goes, I would never take a demotion like that.
Yeah.
I would never be demoted.
Yeah, it's true.
From the highest place that a person could be, which is being able to declare the oracles of God. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, we have the privilege to be able to do it. It's not a light thing.
Yeah.
But we just know that we just study to show ourselves approved. We study what the gospel is, how I can present it, and then just rely on the Holy Spirit's power to back it up and for my eyes to be open to the opportunities where I can share the message filled with grace, filled with truth, filled with boldness, but at the same time, just understanding that the heart of God is for that person to come into the kingdom of God through that preaching or through that sharing.
Yeah, amen. So we have been entrusted with a great message. We've been entrusted with the gospel of grace, you know, the mercy of God. Mm. We've been entrusted with a message that's so important that he sent his son to earth to live it out and to die on the cross and to be buried and to be resurrected and seated at the right hand of the Father.
He is
present in our lives today. Mm. And we don't have to be nervous about sharing it. We can, as you mentioned, we can walk in who we are in Christ, and that's a gospel message. We can, in under pressure and under certain circumstances where we're put into a place where we don't know the answer, we can publicly rely on God. And mm-hmm. that's the gospel, because that's what he tells us to do. Mm-hmm. We don't have all the answers, but mm-hmm. we can walk in faith in him. So it's been a great
45 minutes. We didn't even get to the false gospels, all the other things we're going to do. But that's good.
To be continued. Fun. But yeah. I think that the point is that we love the gospel. We live because of the gospel, mm-hmm. and we have our walks, and our families are being brought up with this in their hearts, and what God does in our hearts is amazing, and we're going to see the fruit of it for generations because of his faithfulness to us mm-hmm. causes us to want to serve him in faithfulness.
Amen. So. That's the truth. Thank you for this time.
Hey, so good. Thanks for joining us, folks. Remember that the Grace Hour is a ministry of Greater Grace Church here in Baltimore, and you could feel free to join us at any time for our services are Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Come early if you want to be there. And on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. and then at 6:30 p.m. And we'd love to have you come and join us. Come visit Pastor Justin, Fed Hill.
454 East Cross Street, Federal Hill.
There you go. There you go. God bless you. Have a great rest of your week.